We obviously are gathered here at a time in which there's a widespread upheaval all over this country focused around police violence, particularly focused around police repression and disparate policing in communities of color, particularly black communities in the United States, throughout our country here in Boston, as well as every other place where there are police. So I want you to just keep that in mind as you listen to me regale you with a whole bunch of horror stories about the effect that events like the Olympics, which I call mega events, have on cities, have on communities. And I'm going to specifically be talking about the impact that those events have on policing and surveillance. Now, I might say the word security sometimes throughout this talk. Really, that's just shorthand for what it really is, which is policing and surveillance. Oftentimes, we talk about policing and surveillance by using the word security, but I think words really matter, and I don't think that policing and surveillance buy us security or get us security, particularly if you're poor or if you have dark skin. So just keep that little linguistic note in mind. Money spent on policing and surveillance for past mega events. Obviously, we have a lot of social problems. We need to fund the T here in Massachusetts, in Boston. We need to fund public education. In fact, I was like on Twitter yesterday, and I saw that Mayor Walsh said something about how he wants to close, quote, dozens of public schools in this city. Okay. So Mayor Olympics wants to close public schools. That's interesting. Let's just review, shall we, very briefly, how much, again, surveillance and policing, so-called security, cost at related mega events over the past 10 or so years. The London Olympics of 2012, just the surveillance and policing, cost $1.6 billion, that's with a B, billion dollars. Sochi, just this past summer in Russia, that cost $3 billion with a B, another B. In Brazil, which Dave can tell you a whole hell of a lot more about than I can, the World Cups, the FIFA World Cup in Brazil last year, they spent $1.9 billion just for surveillance and policing. Here in Boston, some of you will remember that in 2004, the Democrats brought their party to town. We had the DNC here. We taxpayers shelled out $60 million for security, aka surveillance and policing. And I'll talk a lot more about that in a second. And the projected budget for surveillance and policing for this Olympic Games in 2024 is $2 billion. All right, so in London they spent $1.6 billion. Some of you might have seen there were these really horrifying images of ballistic anti-aircraft missiles positioned on top of civilian residential apartment buildings in London. Some people who lived in those buildings were horrified that the military, the Royal Air Force, had positioned these anti-aircraft missiles on their rooftop. And so they sued. They sued the government and said, you got to get these the hell out of here. We're not comfortable with this. Among their complaints was one that makes a good deal of sense. They said, we're afraid that these ballistic, anti-aircraft missiles on our rooftop are going to make our home a terrorist target. So if you could remove your military installation from our house, that would be great. They lost. And those missiles remained on the rooftops for the duration of the games. So that was $1.6 billion. If the federal government, and the federal government is responsible for paying for policing and surveillance if the games do come to Boston, as they are responsible if they were to come to LA, which I guess there's some whispering about maybe, you know, our problem will move across the country. So $2 billion in federal funding for policing and surveillance, what would that actually buy? It would buy, among many other things that we probably don't even know about, a whole lot of technology. So in 2004, when the DNC came to town, It was the first time that surveillance cameras moved out of very localized surveillance, which was prior to 2004, mostly targeted in black and brown neighborhoods in Boston as well as throughout the rest of the country. So in 2004, the federal government gave the city of Boston a huge amount of money to build what became the backbone for the integrated surveillance camera network that now exists all throughout the city. In fact, here in JP, there are a number of cameras, like on Washington Street. I know this camera very well because I used to live in this neighborhood and I remember the day that it went up. There's a camera right outside Doyle's Cafe on the traffic light right there. That is one of the many, many cameras that was later added to this system that was born in 2004 when the DNC came to town. So where does that system live? It actually lives, the heart of that surveillance camera network lives at the federal building. The FBI runs it. So the FBI has access to all of those cameras in real time throughout our city. You know, people might say, well, it makes sense to have surveillance cameras at an event like the Olympics. Sure, maybe. Maybe it makes sense to have surveillance cameras at the Olympics, but what we see is that those cameras never go away once they're installed. And they set a foundation for the expansion of a much larger system, which is exactly what we saw after the DNC in 2004. So every camera that has been subsequently added, all of those, or most of them paid for with federal grants through the Department of Homeland Security, sometimes the Department of Justice, have been integrated into that surveillance camera network, which was a gift to the city of Boston from the Democrats. So, yeah, exactly. Another thing that you might remember that started with the DNC here in Boston, so there are sort of two parts of the problem. One part of the problem when events like this come to town is that the cops will get all sorts of money, just money for toys, riot gear, for surveillance equipment, for new computer systems, database systems they can use to track and monitor everyone. The other problem, though, is that new relationships are developed among federal, state, local law enforcement, the military, private intelligence contractors, and new powers are granted, sometimes so-called emergency powers. But here in Boston, we know very well that some of those so-called emergency powers don't go away after the emergency leaves. And another example of that is here in Boston with the DNC, again. In 2004, you'll remember that all of a sudden, there were TSA, that is Transportation Security Administration officials, who you normally see at the airport, working in these so-called Viper teams, stationed at Green Street, at the T-stop. And they were asking people, you know, randomly, so-called, to please step aside and let me search your bag before you get on the train. This had never happened in Boston before, these kinds of so-called randomized bag checks where the federal government is standing next to Boston police officers with, you know, explosives sniffing equipment on a table. You can see it now. It happens all over the city as a result of that policy being implemented in 2004. Didn't go away after the Democrats took their party and left town. So we can expect that things like that will occur as well. It's not just the drones, it's not just the license plate readers or the surveillance cameras or maybe the biometric tracking systems that come along with those surveillance cameras. It's also new powers that once the government, you know, assumes them, they're not likely to give up without a very long and protracted fight. And frankly, we don't have time and energy for that fight. We have too many damn fights already. So... So all of this is wrapped up in the context of something quite dangerous, something called a National Security Special Event. Has anybody ever heard that phrase before? Okay. So yeah, that's right. The Super Bowl is an NSSE, a National Security Special Event. This is a gift from Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton, in 1998, authorized this new thing, which is the creation of a special category of event which enables the federal government to do a couple things. One is to expend money on surveillance and policing, and another is to give the federal government the power to subsume responsibility for maintaining the operational plans and operational execution of a so-called security operation for an event like this. So a very plain spoken way of saying that is that if the Olympics were to come to Boston in 2024, the Boston police would not be in charge of so-called security. The FBI would not even be in charge of security. You know who would be in charge of security? The Secret Service. You guys might have read about the Secret Service recently in the news, right? They were doing a great job taking care of the president. So we can, you know, surely expect that their competence and diligence will be, you know, in charge of these surveillance and policing procedures if Boston, if the rulers of our city get their wish and these Olympics come. So it's critical to note when I talk about the roles and responsibilities with relation to that so-called security plan for 2024, that there's someone named Juliette Kayyem who is the she's the woman who is on the Boston 2024 task force or whatever they call it, who's being charged with drafting a security plan. So how many people in here have read the security plan for Boston 2024? That was a trick question because it's secret. But even if you could read it, it wouldn't matter because it's not going to be the plan. They're not in charge of the security plan. So no matter what they say in these documents that are secret, that we can't read, it's not going to matter because the Secret Service is going to come into town and decide exactly how things are going to go. The Boston Police Department is not in charge. Juliette Kayyem is not in charge. Boston 2024 is not in charge. It's going to be up to the federal government. So, you know, at a time, again, in which we are encouraging, demanding, fighting for local control over local police, transparency, and accountability in policing, this would really be a move that would divorce our local police department and responsibility for what's going on in terms of policing and surveillance in our city from the public even further by handing over control over those operations for a long time, maybe even, you know, 6 months to a year before the games, to a very unaccountable and incompetent federal agency in the name of the Secret Service. So what are some very specific things that you might expect if the games came to town? Things like increased police patrols and stop and frisks, and I don't probably have to tell the people in this room who those patrols and stop and frisks are going to be targeting. I'll just say it anyway, black and brown youth, mostly low-income people, immigrants. Unconstitutional restrictions on speech, that's another really good one. Again, in 2004 for the DNC, how many folks saw the protest cage? Yeah, I saw it. We didn't go in it. No, no. I would know I'm not going in that cage. But yeah, they said, okay, the Boston police, they were like, yes, yeah, people are upset with the Democrats. We know John Kerry voted for the Iraq War. Bad, bad move. So there were a lot of people protesting. I was one of them. And so they, you know, they accommodated us. They made a razor wire cage and put it under a highway. And they were like, that's where you're going to protest. So we sued the ACLU. I wasn't working for the ACLU back then. I was a little pipsqueak. And the ACLU sued. And a federal judge, this is amazing, a federal judge here in Boston called that protest cage, quote, a festering boil. I'm going to read from this. He called it an offense to the spirit of the First Amendment. This is a quote from his ruling. Protesters, demonstrators, and dissidents outside a national political convention are not meddling interlopers who are an irritant to the smooth functioning of politics. They are participants in our democratic life. The Constitution commands the government to treat their peaceful expression of dissent with great respect, respect equal to that of the invited delegates. And then he proceeded to say that he couldn't do anything about the protest cage because it was too late. The plans had already been made. It was impractical, he said, to order the Boston police back to the drawing board. The protests were already happening. So tough
rocks.
It's a festering boil. It's an offense to the spirit of the First Amendment, but it's got to stand. You know, logistics. So that's what happened in Boston in 2004. In 1996, in Atlanta, when the Olympics came to Atlanta, huge problems. The government, the police in Atlanta, in the advance leading up to the games, rounded up nearly 10,000 people, most of them black, homeless people, and deported them out of the city. Yeah, you can read about this. It's totally alarming. They also instituted insane speech restrictions, as well as in Salt Lake City in 2002, when, you know, they tried to pull something very similar. In fact, what was it? They said that the regulations at Centennial Olympic Park in Salt Lake City in 2002, quote, this was the ACLU writing in a lawsuit, quote, make it a criminal offense to hold vigils or religious services and other like forms of conduct which principally involve the communication or expression of views or grievances. This was public property. They were saying the First Amendment is outlawed on public property during the Olympics. So the ACLU sued again. We can expect that if this national security special event comes to Boston, large portions of the city might be deemed, you know, First Amendment exclusion zones. In NATO, in the recent NATO meetings in Chicago a couple summers ago, you can actually look at maps. I think that the local newspapers produce these maps. I wish I had a projector and I could show you, but the area, another thing that an SSE and SSE designation allows the government to do is to create what are essentially no-go zones. So that doesn't mean simply that you can't walk onto a street and hold a protest sign. It means if you don't have a legitimate reason to be there, i.e. you are a NATO member or attending the meetings, you can't even walk down a public sidewalk. Like, these were just closed areas of the city where nobody was allowed to go. And this is quite alarming when you think about what Boston 2024 has described as its vision for what the Olympics would look like in Boston, because we have... The Boston Globe produced a pretty nice map of this, actually. They have events projected to take place at Harvard University, some in Somerville, some as far south as Franklin Park, obviously lots of parts of Dorchester with the Olympic Village there. So you're looking at really from like Cambridge down all the way to Roxbury and JP, out to Dorchester, and then including parts of downtown as, you know, parts of the national security special event zone. Are we going to be told that we can't walk through our own neighborhoods? People who the Globe spoke to, who consulted on, you know, surveillance and policing for games like Sochi, etc., told the Globe, quote, some neighborhoods in Boston will likely be transformed into something approaching armed camps, with security personnel carrying automatic weapons and possibly even anti-aircraft batteries. Again, who is going to be the target of this kind of policing? Frankly, it's not going to be me. It's not going to be people who look like me, most likely. And the very last thing we need to be doing right now, as black people all over the country are demanding that the government recognize that their lives matter, that they stop being caged, that the cages basically stop chasing them, is this kind of insane militarization and policing. So just very quickly, I want to finish by saying that, you know, I'm actually just going to go through this list. So what other things might we expect if the Olympics comes with respect to cops? We can expect checkpoints throughout the city. In fact, I heard Mayor Walsh on the radio, and somebody said, he was like on one of those call-in programs, somebody said, well, Mayor, I'm worried about terrorism, you know, like, what if the Olympics come to town and somebody tries to blow them up? That happened in Atlanta, remember? And the mayor, I'm paraphrasing, don't sue me. He was like, well, don't worry, we got you covered because we have some good plans. And he said, they're going to be roving checkpoints. What? Roving checkpoints in the city? Roving checkpoints. Has anybody ever been to Palestine?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, roving checkpoints in Boston. He said it like it was a good thing. And another thing that I heard, somebody told me that, you know, the mayor actually is viewing the federal government's likely gift of millions, hundreds of millions, billions of dollars worth of surveillance equipment, free tactical equipment, you know, riot gear, weapons, things like that, to the Boston police as a boon. He thinks that is one of the reasons to bring the Olympics, because it would enable the police to arm themselves like the NYPD, basically. Anybody ever been to New York? We don't want that. Okay, what else? Police dogs everywhere, heavily armed military and police all over the place, just standing around like it's totally normal. Again, brand new surveillance equipment, greater ties between the Boston police and the FBI. Probably you all have read about the man who was shot dead by the FBI and the Boston police this morning. Not exactly sure what happened there, but I hope we soon find out. Biohazard surveillance tools, snipers on rooftops, SWAT teams roaming around the city just, for kicks, maybe looking for a fight. Possible flight restrictions, extensive road closures, like I said before, no-go zones, and with the Tsarnaev trial, we'll probably see a lot of Coast Guard boats on the river with tons of weapons maybe pointed at us. So, the ACLU, I should say, doesn't have a formal position on whether the Olympics should come to town. But we want to be very clear about one thing, which is that if the Olympics do come to town, the things that I've just described are not simply likely. They're basically guaranteed. And so the people of Boston need to understand that and need to recognize that, whatever else you're hearing about the Olympic draw and the possible, good benefits that the Olympics might bring to town, which I think Dave is about to demolish, you should consider that even if those things are true, even if the things that these elites are saying about, public transit and youth sports and all the rest are true, they're probably not true, but even if they are true, the things that I've said are guaranteed, and even the city of Boston can't control them, like I said, because the Secret Service is going to be in charge. So keep that in mind, at a time in which we are all, I think probably all of us in this room, outraged about the state of policing, unjust law enforcement practices in this country, the last thing we need to be doing is handing over to police tons of power, tons of weaponry, tons of new surveillance equipment that when the games leave town are all going to stick around, and we know who they're going to be pointed at. Thanks.